Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
All right, guys, before we jump into the show, I want to tell you about our friends over at Solace Meds. Yes, we've partnered with a premier dispensary for you guys, and they have smoking hot deals all the time. We're talking things like buy one, get one 50% off on Wild Night and Day gummies, all Wana products 25% off, so much more over at Solace Meds. And if you head over into their Wheat Ridge location, you can get a free Solace bar or King Cone. When you mention the code DNVR20, that's right, head in and mention DNVR20 to the good friends over at Solace Meds and get a free Solace bar or King Cone. Remember to take advantage of all these deals. Head to solacemeds.com. That's solacemeds.com. Use that code DNVR20, or you can just head into the store and mention that code DNVR20 at Solace Meds. Check them out.
Number one for the one and only.
We are DNVR, and we are live from Studio B. The B stands for, by golly, Colin Morikawa has done it again. I hope you guys had a great weekend. Of course, we are presented by MSU Denver Online. Check them out, msudenver.edu/online, to see all they have to offer. 750 total classes, 45-plus online and hybrid programs. There's something for everyone down at MSU Denver. And MSU Denver students actually work twice as many hours as students attending any other Colorado institution. So if you're looking to further your education while keeping your full-time job, there's no better place than msudenver.edu/online. And there's no one here to save my boys because Zach is out this week.
Unless, and that's his.
That's it.
I would feel weird saying it.
You can't have like different superheroes taking other superheroes' catchphrases.
We just have to be us.
That's all we can be is us. And yes, I had a fantastic weekend.
You won some money.
Yes, I did. Colin Morikawa has like made me a lot of money, like legitimately made me a lot of money in my life.
Like, how are we talking about? He's paid a month's rent for you. He's,
I would say,
a few nice dinners,
multiple months' rent.
Whoa, wow. I mean,
that's true.
That's not unimpressive.
No, yeah. I mean, I just keep betting on him on all the big tournaments. And the best part about this weekend is like he's one of the best golfers in the world, but he had played poorly at the Scottish Open the week before. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, oh, he can't play in Europe. It was the first time he's ever played in Europe was the week before. So they gave him like really high odds. It was 30-1.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
I mean, there were some odds I saw on Friday, which had, Spieth and Westhuizen.
Yep.
Or the field. And I took the field because it included Morikawa.
Yes.
It was an easy choice.
I also had like +150 any American golfer to win.
Oh.
So shout out to Colin for pulling that one through because there weren't that many Americans at the top.
Yeah.
And then I also hit up a Rockies game this weekend for the first time in a while. The All-Star game kind of got me like rejuvenated for baseball. And then Chichi Gonzalez gave up 5 runs in the first inning. Kind of took the wind out of those sails a little bit.
Back to reality. He should have gone yesterday.
I absolutely
That might have kept the wind going for a little bit longer.
That's true. And then I went to a Rapids game for the first time in a while on Saturday. And shout out to C38. I got to be honest. Absolute blast.
Yeah.
Absolute blast.
Did you sing the entire time?
I did.
Really? How about you, Allie? Did you sing the entire time? Okay.
My whole theory on it. So I got to say, like, they have it all figured out because it's not fun to drive all the way out there.
Right.
So what they do is they set up buses from downtown. So you have a drink at a bar downtown, hop on a bus. They'll bus you out to a tailgate nice and early. They've got food and drinks at the tailgate. You go to the game, you sing along, and then you get on the bus back home and you never have to worry about transportation.
Closest thing to the experience that you get in England where you take the train to near the ground and then you go to a pub before the match and then walk into the match.
Which, oh, like a march.
Yeah, which is something that I actually did when the Broncos were in London 11 years ago. My Saturday involved having that kind of match day experience over for a championship level match, a league championship match between Queen's Park Rangers and Burnley. And it was an absolute blast. Ended the same way as the match that you went to on Saturday, a 1-1 draw, but that's okay.
Yeah, that was the only bummer.
What's wrong with a try, with a tie?
I don't...
Americans, and I say you Americans, because yes. this is where the having a British mother comes into play. I've never had a problem with ties. I guess it's just kind of the way you're raised, the way you're wired and all that.
Right.
Ties are fine. If it's, sometimes the game deserves to be a tie. I was telling Eric Weedham, D-Line Co., before the show, because we were talking about the tie, and he was a little bit let down by the tie. He needs a winner and a loser. He needs that clarity. But I think back to, for example, the Broncos-Patriots game in 2013. Denver takes a huge lead in the first half. New England comes roaring back and ties the game in the second half. That game deserved to be a tie. Denver won half of it. New England won half of it. And we all would have been happier if overtime had not happened and the ball had not skipped off of Tony Carter's leg, allowing the Patriots to get the game-winning field goal. Would have felt much better flying home with a tie than a loss.
Yeah, I mean, that when you lose, you'd rather have the tie. But when you win, you'd rather have the win.
If they said tomorrow, we're calling every NFL regular season game after 60 minutes, no more overtime, I'd be like, fine. I'd be perfectly okay with that.
We don't do ties here, and we do playoffs. It's just the way we roll.
Well, they're the equivalent of a playoff in England is the FA Cup. I mean, you've got your single elimination competition going concurrently. Well, it depends on the fan base. I mean, if you're contending for the Champions League, maybe the FA Cup isn't your big thing, but if you're like Everton or somebody like that, the FA Cup means a hell of a lot because
right,
you're probably not winning the league and you're not going
champion.
To Europe.
Ugh. But I will say, like when you play a whole season against the league and you come out on top in first place, you are a true champion. But it's just there's not as much drama.
I mean, you give the President's Trophy out in the NHL. There's no other league that give in the other than the NHL. Well, no, actually, the MLS does because they have the Supporters Shield.
I think that's the name of the actual.
Well, there's the MLS Cup right, and the Supporters okay, yeah. Shield. The Supporters Shield is what you get when you win the league in the regular season.
Sounds about right.
And then they have a playoff. That's when you get the MLS Cup.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. I just I don't know. I like when, it was Arsenal last year, or who was the team that was just insane last year? Liverpool.
Liverpool, yeah.
And, they just didn't have to, they won the championship, halfway through the season. No one was catching them.
Right.
There's no drama in that. You got to defend it later.
But drama, part of the thing with drama is it doesn't happen every day. Like, are you familiar with how the 2012 Premier League season ended?
No.
That was the one where Manchester City scored two goals to take the title from United, which had won up in Sunderland at the same time. They play all the matches at the same time. And ever since then, they've been hoping to replicate that moment. You see, the NBC networks basically turn their entire television on a Sunday morning over the entire complex of networks over to showing every game because they're hoping for that last Sunday where you've got a title on the line, you have Champions League bids on the line, and relegation on the line. And it hasn't happened anything close to that way ever since.
It's a shame.
But that day was Mother's Day 2012 was one of the most glorious days. Well, for me as a Man City fan, because they won the league, and that was a huge, huge deal. And to win it in that fashion, I mean, you've probably seen the call on YouTube, Aguero!
Yeah.
I was dancing around the house at that point, but,
All right.
It's neither here nor there.
Well, that's enough soccer talk for this year on the DNVR Broncos
podcast. It's football, in a manner of speaking.
It is. But I think we covered enough. Speaking of sports crossovers and this, that, and the other thing, the other kind of thing in the news this weekend, especially in Denver, is the NHL expansion draft. And more specifically, the news that the Colorado Avalanche did not protect longtime captain Gabriel Landeskog, which kind of like woke everyone up that wasn't like a close following Avs fan to the expansion draft. All of a sudden, everyone's like, what? We're going to lose Landy? Which is still possible. And so I started thinking, what if the NFL had another expansion draft? Now, the last time the NFL had an expansion draft, it wasn't very good podcasting, I would say, the rules.
Yeah, because back then it was the Houston Texans in 02. And it was interesting. The expansion draft rules in the NFL were at their most liberalized for the Jaguars and Panthers. And, of course, the Jaguars and Panthers both went to the conference championship game in their second seasons. I think everyone would like to forget about how the Jaguars got there.
Absolutely.
But so, there were thoughts that, okay, we gave them too much.
Mm-hmm.
So then Cleveland drafted in 99, got Bupkis and went 2-14. And like, okay, we overcorrected. And then you had Houston somewhere in the middle in 02. They were the only team that year. And each team was allowed to, was basically told they had to expose 5 players, no UFAs, no RFAs. So that's one area which is different than the NHL because you can expose unrestricted free agents like Landy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, and you could only expose one guy who was a 10-year veteran or greater, and no kickers or punters. But they didn't say, okay, you have to have X amount of a certain side of the ball. It was just, okay, 5 guys. And teams used that to see if they could get rid of some contracts they didn't like, which is how Houston opened the draft with Tony Boselli, the great left tackle from Jacksonville.
And Fairview High School.
Yes. Who had injuries, and Houston picked him number 1, but the injuries prevented Boselli from ever playing a snap. But there was like him, Aaron Glenn, great cornerback. Now he's a defensive coordinator in Detroit. He actually had a Pro Bowl season for Houston. Willie Rofe, Hall of Fame tackle, was exposed, but they didn't take him. So there were some big names with big contracts, but it looks nothing like the list that the Kraken has now, or that the Golden Knights had back in 2017 when they were able to put together a team that legitimately contended and went all the way to the finals.
And we talked about this a little bit before the show. Like, it's not fair the way that it works. It's way too positive for the new team in the way that it is in the NHL right now. But it makes more sense for the league, which is what this is all about. It's about expanding the league. Mm-hmm. Seattle's going to come in, and all of a sudden they're going to have an awesome team. And then Seattle's going to have a massive fan base, and the whole fan base is going to be invigorated, and the city's going to love the Kraken. So it makes sense from that standpoint.
Right.
So let's go for the more, as you use, liberal use of the expansion draft rules.
And make no mistake, if let's say the NFL expanded to London, say that was the next team. One, if there was an overseas expansion, you know the NFL would go for the liberal rules to try to get that team up to speed quickly and make them relevant and excite the fans over there.
So instead of going how many players you have to expose, let's go how many players you get to protect. Mm-hmm. We'll start on the offensive side of the ball. We're going to go, you get to protect 6 on offense, 6 on defense, and 1 quarterback. Basically, this is the one goalie. Like, you have fewer than really any other position on the team.
Yeah.
And it's arguably, like goalie is, it's definitely the most important position in football.
You can be a cup finalist and have a great goalie and have not much else.
Right.
I mean, we literally just saw that.
Yes.
With the Habs.
So let's do this. Let's break into it. Let's just start with the quarterback. And this is actually an interesting one. You get to protect 1, Mace. Who are you protecting?
I'm protecting Drew.
Okay.
It's actually an easy call. And part of it is Drew, 2 years of team control, 2 years on the contract, Teddy with 1. You know what Teddy is, and actually you look at Teddy and say he's kind of an ideal expansion quarterback.
Right. Well, I don't think he would be picked either way, even if you expose him.
Probably not, because you start looking around and saying, okay, who are the and there's a strategy involved with this, because we see in the NHL unrestricted free agents exposed, or sometimes like you had the option of going 7-3-1, 7-4-3 defenseman, 1 goalie, or 4-4-1 with four forwards, four defensemen, one goalie. And you had, like, the Lightning went 4-4-1 because they figured, okay, we have so many forwards, you can't take them all. We're going to accept that we're going to lose one.
Take one.
Yeah. So, but we don't, we would rather, we're okay losing a position where we have depth, where it's probably easier to find reinforcements than someone on the blue line. So there's a strategy involved with this. And so you'd be kind of looking and saying, okay, what do we expect other teams would do at quarterback? And you start kind of looking around at other teams, like San Francisco in this environment. They're going to probably expose Jimmy Garoppolo, you'd think. There's no way
they're choice, yeah.
Right. They're not exposing Trey Lance. The Bears would expose Andy Dalton because they're not exposing Justin Fields. And so you start looking around the list and saying, all right, they could take Teddy. He might be a prototypical expansion quarterback, but if the London whatevers are willing to spend some money on the quarterback, there are better options for them right now. And so you'd roll the dice, and you'd probably end up getting Teddy back.
Jimmy G in London?
I mean,
I'm just saying, like, you know, good-looking dude leading the franchise.
Imagine if you have a Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay acolyte running the offense.
Yeah.
You actually can get that thing up to speed pretty quickly, because the only thing with Jimmy G is it's not that he's not good enough. Maybe he's not clutch enough, and he doesn't really stay healthy. But when he's healthy, he can play.
Absolutely.
And so if you keep him upright, So you would protect Drew, though, just because then they wouldn't be tempted to go say, all right, well, let's go have a young cost-controlled quarterback that we develop behind the older guy. Let's, you know, because Drew, believe it or not, if you put him out there, he would probably be the best young quarterback that was on that market. It would make no – so thus, it makes no sense to put Drew on this list. It's got to be Teddy.
We're on the same page here. Yeah. All right, now the fun really starts.
Oh, okay, let's go.
You get six more players to protect. Who is the number one player that you're putting your protection on offense?
Jerry Jeudy.
Yep.
Really? You're going Jeudy too?
I'm also going Jeudy.
Oh, I mean
– I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, there's another person who could easily fill this slot, but for me, it's like – he's your first-round pick. I've said it from the beginning. I think he has insane potential. Potential to be the all-time leading receiver for the Broncos one day. If he learns, you know, to haul in a few more. But
he has insane potential for this year as well.
Oh, absolutely. So now, he's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. I think you start there. And then who's your next pick?
The next one, again, simply can't afford to lose him. And I think you guys had this conversation recently, Garrett Bowles.
Yeah. Even though that contract, it might be one where you dangle it and say, okay, do you really want to pay this much for a left tackle? But
yes.
I would say, let's go back to the discussion we had earlier. If you pick Jimmy Garoppolo, you want to pick a tackle that's going to keep him upright. And so I would not run the risk of losing Garrett Bowles. He is definitely on the six.
Okay, another one that I just don't think you mess around with is Noah Fant.
Yep, he's on my list too.
So we're up to three now. We've got three more to work with. Oh, yeah, you got to have Fant.
Oh, 100%. I mean, again, look at the potential. I mean, I think he's going to be when all is said and done, he's going to be the best tight end that this team has had since Shannon Sharp. Being the number two tight end in team history behind a Hall of Famer, like, is fine.
Pretty darn good.
You're pretty happy with that.
The one thing I will say is, like, you like the potential of Albert O, so, like, maybe, but he's young, he's cheap, talking of Noah.
Yeah.
Like, you're just not.
It's tough choice.
You have a fifth-year option on him, right. So you don't overthink this.
And the other thing is, are we doing this like the NHL where, I mean, I think you can lose one player, right, in the NHL expansion draft?
Yes.
Okay. So that's part. There's part of the strategy here, kind of like I mentioned with the Lightning, is that you put so many out there, a certain spot, you're going to lose one, but you're going to keep the rest.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos, I mean, we're going to probably talk about an exposed list. We'll get into that in a moment. That's going to include some talent, but you only are going to lose one, and maybe you won't even lose one if they go defense
right
from your pool.
In this weird world, though, then, like, this expansion team only gets 32 players to start with.
Maybe it's one offense, one defense then.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to lose one on each side.
Yeah.
That makes sense, actually.
And if you pick quarterback, there goes the offense.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. Okay. So we have three protected.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going Cortland here again.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot, like, this team doesn't have enough explosive high-level talent on the offensive side of the ball. You can't lose any.
Yeah, that was an easy pick, and I thought briefly just because of the contract situation, but if you really want Cortland, you can find a way to get him back.
Yes.
And I think, and depending on what happens at the quarterback position, I think they're going to find a way somehow, some way to have Cortland Sutton still on this team in 22 along with Jerry Jeudy.
I think so too. Yeah. It was the recreation of DT and Emmanuel.
Right.
And you won a Super Bowl with those two.
And the best part is you can structure Cortland Sutton's contract to where he has the big hits, and then maybe you move on from him after a second contract, and then you start paying Jerry Jeudy huge money.
Right.
So you're going to get that window of about 4 years where they're together.
Okay. So you now have two spots left.
Ooh.
I'm seeing, I'm seeing one that I really just don't want to let go.
Javonte Williams?
Yes.
Wow. This is kind of boring. We've agreed on all these guys so far.
Too much agreement.
He was actually the first guy I put down, not because he was the top priority, but in my mind, I'm thinking that's kind of like, okay, I don't want there to be any controversy here.
Yes.
Sorry, Melvin Gordon. We love you. Great guest. You know, we love having you as part of this team. Great to talk to you a couple weeks ago. But this is strictly kind of a contract and value thing. I don't expect that the London Broyles or the London Royals or the London whatevers are going to take on an $8 million running back.
No.
But so I'm expecting Melvin to come back.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm protecting Javonte. All right, Mace, you've got one spot left here. Some names that are still unprotected. Dalton Reisner, Lloyd Cushenberry, Graham Glasgow, Bobby Massey, Netani Muti. Like I said, Albert Okwuegbunam. Those are the main kind of players there that are still on the board. Who are you using your last protection slot on?
It's tough because, again, part of it is situational because I actually thought about using Netani Muti here. But I also think, okay, what's the worst thing that happens here? Is that I lose Muti and Miners, but I keep one of them. The worst thing is one of them is coming back.
Right.
And there may not be room for both of them anyway. So I went with Dalton Reisner.
We agree once again.
Oh!
I did think about Muti, and Muti would be very intriguing for a expansion team.
He would.
Cheap, high potential, young.
But Reisner's cheap as well. He's got two more years left on his rookie deal, and I thought if I put Reisner out there, they look at him, a guy with 2 years of starting experience in the bag and also leadership qualities, and if they've done their homework, they would look at Reisner as somebody who's cheap for 2 years, but somebody that could kind of be one of the real leaders of our locker room that ends up being a guy who is there 8 or 10 years and kind of be maybe 10 years from now you're looking at him being the last original player left, and he's, you know, been the captain, been a team captain for a few years. If I were a team, an expansion team, and I saw Reisner on the unprotected list, I'd grab him.
Could Reisner make cowboy hats a thing in London?
Oh, 100%. Every aspect of his personality would become a thing if he were on the London whatever.
Right. Like the London Broyles.
Yeah, you could. I mean, you basically kind of do the cowboy hat thing, and you're putting him on billboards and saying like the American game comes to England.
Right.
You know, He's one of the guys. He's one of the guys you're probably building your marketing campaign around. So he has appeal on so many levels to where I think if you put him out there, he'd be gone. And so I'm not running that risk.
This just reminded me that I was driving to the golf course yesterday and I was listening to the radio call of the Open, and just like on their website, they had like the straight up just like British call, and it was
amazing.
Something special. I mean, we are missing out. That should just be what we hear here.
People wonder, can tennis on radio be a thing? Well, if you can listen to like the British call, like on BBC of Wimbledon, yes, it absolutely should be a thing. And it's the same thing for the Open.
I couldn't get over. They like cut to this woman. Yeah. She's like, I'm here on the 15th hole where the flag is whipping in the wind like a daffodil on a wonderful summer day. And I was like, this is the best thing I've ever heard.
It is, because they're painting the picture. This is what the best radio announcers do, by the way, is they paint that visual picture. And we see, like, I think we get it in baseball. Now, we've lost a little bit of that because the announcers aren't traveling. So, you know, there's only so much, for example, that Jack Corrigan and Mike Rice can do right now because they're sitting in the Coors Field booth when there's a game at Dodger Stadium. But in general, the closest thing here is the radio announcers kind of painting the picture. But, yeah, the British announcers seem to do a better job of that, even on soccer as well. Like, you ever hear, like, on BBC World Service, on Saturday morning, they have a two-hour, like, sports show, but literally for those 2 hours, it's going around, like, all the soccer games in England.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of whips around from one to the other. And so it's so quick and it's so descriptive. It's like soccer red zone for radio. Amazing.
I was blown away. I also loved how the way they describe if someone misses a putt is, oh, it stays above ground. God, that's great.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I honestly...
Had you ever heard that before?
No, never like... tuned into something like that
before. It's perspective changing, isn't it?
It was incredible. I was like, wow, this is like an art form.
We're missing something.
We are. Everyone should, I don't know if you can find like highlights of that or something somewhere. Maybe I'll try and find them and tweet them out because I was truly baffled by how good it was. Okay. So we made the same protection list on offense, which is kind of boring, but I'm looking at this from the perspective of the London Broyles or Royals. Both are good. They kind of like what was left out here for them, mm-hmm. which is this is how they're going to feel about every team. So options that you could take, Teddy Bridgewater, Melvin Gordon, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, Albert Okwuegbunam, Netani Muti, Quinn Meinerz. I mean, there's seven guys.
There's some talent.
Who are very talented football players. And you got to hit on your guy because like, maybe you're really intrigued by KJ Hamler. Well, if KJ continues to have issues, then you missed. But like Tim Patrick.
Yeah. The only thing with Tim.
There's going to be a lot of receivers out there.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think you may look at this and say, okay, are there comparable receivers that have more years of team control? I look at that list. I come back to
Moody
and Meinerz. Because those guys look like they're both long-term starters in the making.
I'm going Moody just because you have tape of him on an NFL field.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not just snapping to garbage cans.
Right. Now, at Meinerz, you do have the Senior Bowl tape, which is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Meinerz because of Moody's injury history.
Yeah.
And I think, because I think they're both going to be starters, I feel a bit better about Meinerz health-wise. So if you give me that list, and I'm the London Royals, Quinn Meinerz, and another guy that is, you think, because for better or for worse, you're also thinking about marketability for some of these guys, and Quinn Meinerz is a marketable guy.
Very true. Very true.
You can have some funk similar to Dalton Risner. There are things that you can kind of do with that. And I think the other thing with Meinerz is, this year is a redshirt year for him, probably here in Denver because of what they have on the interior. But if I'm that London team, I'm getting him out there right away.
Just
unless he's a complete disaster in camp, he's starting from day one.
Gosh, what?
Let him figure it out.
What's the timeline you think on this before this team in London happens? Will it be an expansion team?
That's a good question because.
Got to do two, right, if you do expand?
Well, I was thinking about this. You can do one and then add another shortly thereafter, like we saw with the Browns, the second Browns and the Texans. We are actually due for expansion in the NFL because from the merger through 2002, we added six teams. So basically it was roughly a couple of teams a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been sitting on 32 now. This, believe it or not, this is the 20th season of 32. And 32 is a great number, but kind of overdue to add a couple of teams here, even though it's going to mess up things scheduling wise. So I don't know. There may be some interesting things coming up that make this possible. You've got that lawsuit in St. Louis, for example, that's supposed to come to trial in January. I don't think the NFL is going to want that to go to trial. Similar thing with the Broncos and the Bolin family lawsuit, because of all the secrets that could come spilling out in a courtroom that nobody wants out. So what if there's a settlement in St. Louis and the settlement says, okay, you're getting a team, but we want to add another team, and that becomes the excuse to add a London team. Your two expansion teams, and then you have to figure out another division. If they ever did expand, I'd like to make sure they get four, because you could work with 36. Yeah. Six-team divisions you can work with.
But so maybe that's the end goal.
Maybe that's
over the
end
course
game.
Of a decade.
Right. The end game is you kind of play with 34 for several years, and then you look to add two more around, say, 2030.
What other cities do you think would be? I mean, Seattle's probably – or sorry, Portland is an interesting one up there in the Pacific Northwest.
Portland is like – even though you're in the shadow of Tampa and Jacksonville, Orlando would be in the mix. A dark horse would be a place like Omaha, which has a really strong corporate base.
And a lot of football fans in Nebraska.
Exactly. The only thing is, you start looking around, like even with Portland, and say, okay, what's the secondary market? Because like the failure of Jacksonville is that there's no secondary market. Orlando is Bucks and Dolphins country, basically. Savannah is the next market to the north. That's Falcon territory because it's in Georgia.
Right.
So you start looking around.
Alabama?
For Jacksonville?
I just mean like...
Oh, would you put a team in Birmingham?
You might worry about the idea of there already is a massive football brand
right.
that people are so loyal to.
Yeah, and that's why I think like San Antonio... You'd have to get past Jerry Jones. San Diego, if they built a stadium.
San Diego, I just don't feel like the culture there is conducive to football.
Well, it was for a long time.
Okay.
It's there are elements in San Diego of what happened in Houston back with the Oilers. Like, people love football in Houston. They hated Bud Adams. And so lickety split, all of a sudden you had a team showing up in the Texans a few years later. The only thing with San Diego is that market is so constrained because it's just San Diego County. You're not going to get many fans in Orange County. You're certainly not getting any fans in LA. So, okay, where, you know, it's got to be that town. And that's actually kind of something you start thinking about with a lot of these teams. Like Orlando, you'd say the same thing. Okay, you have to get, it's Orlando and that's it. If it's Portland, you get the state of Oregon, but I mean, what other markets do you have in Portland? I mean,
right.
Besides Portland and Oregon, and your fan base isn't going north because Seattle. So that's where you also start saying, okay, non-domestic markets.
Couple in the comments here.
Toronto.
Montreal, Mexico City.
Yeah, Mexico City is one that if they could get things working with parity between the peso and the dollar. And because one thing that kind of comes up is that you can't charge as much for tickets down there for the general fans. So the other thing is also you have to get things like security right and that kind of thing. Cause it's always, there are always some logistical hurdles in Mexico City that you encounter that aren't necessarily encountered in London and wouldn't necessarily be encountered in like Munich or Berlin or Frankfurt. And so the other thing is if they add a London team, you need another European team. You need somebody else because the way you'd make that work is, you're playing back-to-back road games against London and say, let's just say Frankfurt, for the sake of they were a good NFL Europe market. There's a football culture in that part of Germany.
Okay.
So let's say London and Frankfurt.
Sheesh. That would be weird.
Weird, but awesome.
Yeah. I mean, definitely awesome. It's doing something that no other league has ever done before.
And we know that Germany's on the radar because we've heard from the league that, you know, kind of through the back channels, that as things settle post-pandemic, the next place they want to play in Europe is Germany.
Could they do like a draft in these cities too to kind of help build the interest there?
Ooh. Well, the only thing is if you did the draft, it would have to be, you couldn't have it be in prime time in the U.S.
True.
Because are you going to have the draft at 1 a.m. London time?
I mean, you could. People are still going to go.
That would actually be a hell of a test of the football audience. And if, like, we're going to do the draft in Frankfurt, we're going to do it at 2 in the morning. And come, people
come
showed
on,
up.
Come all. They would.
People, yeah, you're right. People would show up. Sometimes I underestimate the power of the NFL's brand, even overseas. But like, people would show up for that.
It's just like what I was saying, that, you know, if you put the Broncos in Pueblo, people, you're still selling out the stadium every week.
Yeah.
That people will go far and wide for football.
Basically, we already have kind of the equivalent of that by having a team that should be in Milwaukee and Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Exactly.
People, perfect example. There's like literally, with all respect to Green Bay, there is literally no other reason to drive to Green Bay if you're from Madison, if you're from Milwaukee, except to go to a Packer game.
How long is the drive?
It's about 2 hours from Milwaukee, about two hours and 20 from Madison.
So you're driving to Vail for the game and back.
And actually with Green Bay, like I believe it's three of their games. They have like what they call the green and gold plan on season tickets. And the green, because they used to split between Milwaukee and Green Bay. The gold plan is still the old Milwaukee plan. And so the highway is choked with people driving up from the Milwaukee area for the game. And people just do it.
It's crazy.
They do it because they always have. But yeah.
I was going to say, no one is going to stop and not go to the game.
Anyway, so that's kind of a long-winded way of saying, yeah, people are going to come from far and wide.
Well, and
for anything big NFL related.
We're probably due for expansion soon. It was just the original
point. We are.
Point.
It's funny because I'm glad you brought this up as a topic this morning, because I thought about that this weekend with all the stuff about the expansion draft and seeing Landeskog and seeing who the Lightning exposed, and like, because there was like all this talk about, are they going to, you know, they can expose McDonough, you know, that sort of thing. And it got me thinking, we are really due for NFL expansion. It kind of hit me like, it's been nearly 20 years since the Texans came into the league.
Yep.
It's time.
It probably is time. And
they love the number 32, but they love money. And that's here's another thing. Let's say the Broncos are sold for a massive number. I mean, is it possible that could even be $6 billion?
I have the over on 5.
What could the NFL charge for expansion franchises?
Oh, gosh.
In this environment?
An obscene amount. It's unlimited.
Yeah. Are they literally charging $8 billion per franchise?
And all of a sudden,
so let's say you had 4 franchises over a decade. That is a bill, and the money goes to the owners. That's $1 billion, and it's less than that 13. After taxes. In every other team's pocket.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
And I just don't see why there would be a cap on the number. Set it whatever. Someone's going to pay it.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize there's a small pool of people who can even do it, but someone will.
Well, that's why I said Omaha. What would Warren Buffett or his, you know, or his family and people connected with him pay for a team in Omaha?
Again, I think it's unlimited.
Yeah.
I also do think the NFL would have a close eye on where the MLS is having great success. Because to me, with all due respect to the MLS, that tells me that city is sports starved. Throw us a bone and we're going to love it.
Look what happened with Seattle. The Sonics left.
Yep.
And
Sounders came.
The Sounders came in, and there was an element of FU NBA involved with the support that the Sounders got. And to their credit, they've sustained it because they've usually been good. They're a well-run club. But there was kind of that element, okay, we're going to show you. Like, Seattle, to me, answer any questions about what kind of sports town it was when the Sounders came in and did so well. You mentioned Portland as a possibility. There's great support for the Timbers
exactly.
Out there.
And it's because the only other thing they have is the Trailblazers. Mm-hmm. And so they were saying, like, we need something else. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Denver, you know, there was a good crowd at the Rapids game the other night. But you don't see them being covered, you know, like the other teams.
Well, we don't even cover them here. I mean, there's an example.
Because there's so many places for people to inject their sports love.
Yeah.
You know, you've got all 4 of the major teams. You've got 2, you know, you've got a Pac-12 school.
You got a Power 5 school.
That's exactly.
I mean, CU's basically the 5th major here.
Right. And so you have a lot of places, whereas a place like Portland, you know, they don't even necessarily have a high level school out there.
Well, they got Oregon State and Oregon within like an hour and a half.
Is that how close? I thought Corvallis was a little further, but
yeah, hour and a half, 2 hours. But okay. they're basically Portland teams for all intents and purposes. Oregon and OSU. People drive down in
that
droves.
I mean, that makes sense. I guess I just never I never mentally connect Portland and Eugene. Right. But it would make sense that the same way that
I mean, in Florida, for example, you know, the Gators, you know, they're a home team for Orlando, Jacksonville, and Tampa.
Right. And I mean, you meet people around here who like just grew up in Denver, didn't go to CU, but just became CU fans because CU was good when they were young.
Yeah. And that happens all the time. So yeah, we're probably oversaturated.
We are a little bit.
I believe this is the smallest market that has all five plus a major college. I think we're smaller than the Twin Cities.
Interesting. So anyways, there's a lot of places that it can go and a lot of places that are I really do think to these cities that are getting MLS teams, mm-hmm. the NFL will you'll catch their eye if you're selling out MLS games.
Yeah, but of course, some of the places where they're doing well already have the NFL. Like Atlanta has done very well
with MLS. Same with Nashville.
Nashville, and they're already set. I mean, now I think Nashville intrigues Major League Baseball. Because of the crowds they're drawing for Nashville. And maybe we'll find out next year in Charlotte when the new club starts out there that Charlotte is underserved. And maybe that in turn puts Charlotte a little bit up on the baseball radar too.
And then, of course, Las Vegas is a player in all these things, but they have a football team.
And Las Vegas has basically an unlimited budget for venue building.
All right. Let's flip over to the defensive side of things. But first, I want to tell the good people about Breckenridge Brewery, the best beers, the best seltzers, the best lemonade seltzers out there. Had several of these over the weekend. Probably a couple too many, if I'm being completely forthcoming here.
They have any of the seltzers out there at Dick's Sporting Goods Park?
They didn't have Breck seltzers, unfortunately. Oh, damn, I know. Got to get them to figure that out. Yeah. But definitely the best. I was wishing they had the Breck ones over there because the ones they had weren't quite as good, but that's okay. Got to check them out. Whatever you love. I had a strawberry sky at Wash Park yesterday.
Ooh.
I don't know if you're supposed to do that. Maybe I shouldn't be publicizing that, but everyone else does it, so it's fine.
Well, and you might get fined, but that's the limit of it. I don't think they're going to haul your rear end into court.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, bigger things to worry about.
I had a strawberry sky while looking over Washington Park. I could have been anywhere.
There you go. That's the spirit. It's a great place to hang out.
Oh, so great. Like, sun starts to go down. Oh. It's not hot anymore, but it's still warm.
It was a perfect
strawberry sky with a sunset going down.
It was a perfect eating and drinking outside weekend this weekend.
It absolutely was. Had some tacos. It's incredible. Anyways, Breckenridge Brewery, the best damn beer out there. Go check them out.
Also want to tell you about Chevalier Mortgage. And you know what? It's stressful trying to buy a house right now. If you've attempted this process, you know exactly what we're talking about. The housing market is crazy in Colorado. So guess what? You should let Mike and Virginia Chevalier take the burden off this extremely difficult process. They will alleviate so much stress and worry off your plate. Chevalier Mortgage's ultimate goal is to take the stress out of buying and refinancing. They strive to give their borrowers options with their full financial picture in mind and with the highest level of integrity, always putting their borrowers first. And they have a fun perk for DNVR listeners. Visit them at dnvrmortgage.com and enter to win a free DNVR shirt or hat of your choice when you do. Most importantly, get set up with a free consultation to discuss all your options. That's dnvrmortgage.com. Mike and Virginia are also proud DNVR members. CSU alums work nights and weekends to make sure their clients are getting the best loan for their situation. As mortgage brokers, they can shop over a dozen lenders with many different products to find the right fit for you. They want their borrowers to know they are working with you and not feel bounced around. They take the time to help their borrowers be as informed as they want in every step of the process. And Mike and Virginia will take the burden off folks so they can focus on their home, their well-being in their home, and not just a house. So visit them at dnvrmortgage.com and enter to win a free DNVR shirt or hat when you do and get set up with a free consultation. That's call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit dnvrmortgage.com. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631.
Speaking of a free DNVR t-shirt or hat, you can, of course, get that when you become a member at DNVR. There's so many more perks. You can read all of our training camp coverage, which we are going to have plenty of. You can get member-sized beers when you come down to the DNVR bar. You can get deals on merch every week. The list goes on and on and on. You guys have heard it before. If you haven't become a member yet, I don't know what you're waiting for, but please do soon. All right, let's move on here, Mace. We are going to the defensive side of the ball. There's no like special position here, so you get to protect six defensemen. We don't really call them that in football.
Defenders, players.
Defensive players. And I think we might have some disagreement on this side of the ball, which would be nice. So who are you starting with?
Starting with Justin Simmons.
Okay, same.
Easy. You just made the commitment to him, and yeah, that's a big contract, and I don't think that an expansion team would take it on. But you're also kind of looking at kind of the visual of it, and the visual of and the effect of leaving him unprotected right after you sign him would probably go over like a farting church, basically.
Yeah, and it just I mean, if I'm the expansion team, I'm thinking of taking him.
Oh yeah.
You get your defensive leader. Again, you talked about having Dalton there for, you know, a long time being like the franchise centerpiece, the one that everyone remembers who's there for the longest. Like that's what Justin Simmons could be.
Right. All right. Who's your second pick?
My second pick to protect is going to be Pat Surtain.
Mine too.
Oh God, here we go.
First round pick.
Yeah.
Again, kind of like Jerry Jeudy. High potential, although I don't like with Jerry Jeudy, I do agree that if things work out, you're talking about him maybe breaking a lot of records. You're not talking about Pat Surtain being the best corner in Broncos history.
Pretty tough to beat first ballot Hall of Famer.
Or even second best.
Which would be?
Lee Wright.
Okay.
We're talking about him being a very good corner, someone that you build around.
Yeah.
Someone that should be here for 8 to 10 years. But if he's got, I want to kind of keep the expectations for Pat Surtain reasonable because I think people are saying, oh, he's the next Champ Bailey. Champ's one, like, in my opinion, a top five all-time cornerback.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to put that sort of burden of expectation.
It's calling a drafted quarterback the next Peyton Manning.
Yeah. I don't think it's fair to him. I think he's a very good corner who plays a long time. And at worst, he's your number two corner. Like, if he is a bust, he's a solid number two corner.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing of being a safe pick, right?
So right, the safest pick, which somehow drove some people crazy. All right, third protection here. I think I'm going Bradley Chubb.
Yeah. Two more years of team control. You're rolling the dice that he can stay healthy. The only thing that would change this is if your internal medical updates aren't promising, but if he is up to speed health-wise, he's somebody you're not letting go in the expansion draft. Because if he were out there, a young pass rusher who still has potential, has been to the Pro Bowl, I would think he'd be one of the first people that the London whatever snapped up.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. All right, who do you got fourth?
Fourth on my list is
so afraid you're gonna say the same one I have.
Fourth on my this is where it actually gets really interesting and kind of tough. I decided to go Shelby Harris.
Oh no.
What? I did. You did too.
Yes.
Sort of the same thing as Justin, the contract situation.
For me, I talked about it so many times, which was when you played the Chiefs last year close at Arrowhead, the most valuable player in that game was Shelby Harris, in my opinion.
Chased down Tyreek Hill,
but he was creating pressure up the middle. He knocked down multiple passes at the line.
He did this when he was basically physically like 50% of himself because he was coming off of COVID. Think about that for a moment. He was winded. You could kind of see him gasping on the sideline. Clearly wasn't all the way back health-wise, but was all the way back in performance.
And I left that game saying Shelby Harris is one of the most valuable players on this team. You cannot continue life without him. Because of that, there's just no way I can not protect him here. You just signed him. He's going to be here a while, and I think he is a deeply, deeply important piece of this defense.
Yeah. Who's next for you?
Next for me is gonna be Draymond Jones.
Wow. Did you look at my list before we did this?
I did not look at your list. Yeah.
There's a reason why whenever there's been kind of a talk about what would be given back if somehow a trade for Aaron Rodgers happened, why you see the name Draymond Jones kicked around, and that is that promising interior pass rushers are hard to find.
Yep.
And he's already put together a 6-sack season. Frankly, I think he's on a Jarrell Casey trajectory. And if he were to have a career similar to that of Jarrell Casey,
yeah, you'd be thrilled.
And you're an expansion team, you would take that guy in a heartbeat.
Of course.
So it's a premium skill set that he has. And we've seen enough glimpses to where you don't want to let him go. And because he's an interior pass rusher, that means he's a defensive lineman who isn't coming off the field when you go sub package. Now, of course, you're only losing one defensive player off of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the philosophy of saying, all right, we're going to lose somebody of value, but we're only going to lose one guy of value.
So that leaves us with one more protection available.
Uh-huh.
And listen to the list of players that are still out there. Mike Purcell, Alexander Johnson, Josie Jewell, Kyle Fuller, Ronald Darby, Kareem Jackson, Bryce Callahan, Malik Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say Von Miller?
Von Miller.
Von Miller is still unprotected, and you have one more stamp to use. Now, my thought on this is a lot of these people only have 1 year left. Kareem Jackson, 1 year. Kyle Fuller, 1 year. Bryce Callahan, 1 year.
Yes.
So you've got some really, and of course, Von Miller, 1 year. You've got some high.
Even Malik Reed is 1 year because he's an RFA.
Right. Alexander Johnson.
1 year.
1 year. Josie Jewell.
1 year.
1 year. So all of these guys are essentially 1 year players. You do have Mike Purcell signed still.
Purcell's a multi-year guy. Darby's a multi-year guy.
So it's not as simple as just saying, like, well, let's take the guy with the expiring contract, because there's a lot of those here. And because of that, well, I think he's the ultimate, you know, if you're going to compare someone to Gabriel Landeskog and the Avs leaving him out there, well, that's what Von Miller is. But because my options are pretty wide here, I'm not exposing Von Miller. I'm not doing it. He's getting my protection. I'm keeping the defensive line and outside linebackers together. You need that pass rush. And there's a little bit of sentimental. He's one of three Super Bowl MVPs in the franchise's history. We're not letting him go in an expansion draft.
Yeah, I thought about that, but I also thought about, okay, if I'm London and I'm looking at this list, who am I taking? And I see a guy who's going to be an RFA, so potentially 2 years of team control, who just had an 8-sack season, just had a productive year. Looks like he can do even more than that in the future. And if Malik Reed were out there, and I'm London, I'm probably taking Malik Reed.
Aren't you okay with that if you're the Broncos? You don't love it.
I'm more okay losing Kyle Fuller than Malik Reed, because Fuller's probably only a 1 year guy. And oh, by the way, you're really deep. Like, on this list right now, I've got Kyle Fuller, Bryce Callahan, Ronald Darby. So maybe I lose one of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've still got Pat Surtain, and then O.J. Mutia is my fourth.
Right.
I wouldn't feel good about O.J. Mutia being the one or the two just yet. I feel comfortable with him as a four.
Mm-hmm.
So I put Miller on the exposed list and said, okay, that I don't know if they're going to want to take on $22.125 million contract.
Contract is your best defense.
I'm rolling the dice that they're going that out of this list, they're not going to take Vaughn. They're not going to take Ronald Darby. I'm saying that they're probably going to take. They're probably not going to take Kareem Jackson because of his age.
Mm-hmm.
I probably accept that I'm losing Kyle Fuller out of this list because he's one year. It's a reasonable contract for a high-level player. But I'm also saying, all right, I'm going to put Pat Surtain out there, assume that he grows up. I would rather have that than run the risk of losing Malik Reed. Because if Malik Reed were on this expansion list and I'm London, I'm taking Malik Reed.
Fair enough. I just, man, you know, Vaughn is a emotional person. I think if you left him unprotected, even knowing that you have a great defense in the contract there, it's going to sour the relationship.
You would tell him that and say, I mean, this is one where if this kind of expansion draft happens, you're having the long conversation before this to say this is more of a procedural move. And maybe this is kind of on the back end where you've seen kind of how there are deals made in the NHL expansion draft. Perhaps that you are maybe even just flat out trading them somebody else who's unprotected before the draft. And you're saying, we'll give you this guy if you don't. Maybe you're literally saying, we will trade you Albert Okwuegbunam if you don't take Von Miller.
Right. So they get two offensive players.
Right.
And then they agree to take like PJ Locke or something.
Yeah. Or maybe even like they'll take like Josie Joel, Alexander Johnson. And you're going to plug either Justin Strnad or Baron Browning in there. You're going to run a majority of your snaps in sub package anyway.
Fair.
So I think there's a way you can do that where you can kind of make sure that Vaughn takes this sort of move and doesn't get upset by it. And obviously communication is the key.
Yes.
You don't want to blindside any player with this. And so that means you're going to probably have some leaks coming out, but you do what, and I think the Broncos would, because we saw how when they traded for Teddy Bridgewater, George Payton did the dignified thing of telling Drew Lock before the deal was made, yes, telling him exactly what they were going to do. We've kind of made the compare and contrast between the Packers and Rodgers not kind of giving him a heads up on Jordan Love to the Broncos making sure that Drew knew what was happening before he read about it or saw it somewhere else.
I'll never forget when I broke the news inadvertently to Isaiah McKenzie that he had lost his punting job.
Right. And what just shows you how kind of dysfunctional things were at that moment, yep, organizationally.
I was like, do you have any reaction? He was like, I'm just hearing this for the first time. So yeah.
Things that would not happen with the Broncos in 2021.
No. That's a good thing.
Because you're more organized at the top now in terms of Vic Fangio was the coach, and then George Payton. They wouldn't do that. So,
man, well, wow, we finally that, had, we that, were 12 we saved, out of 13 we agreed on.
We saved the best for last.
Yes.
Because we saved the disagreement.
Yes, and it wasn't even done on purpose.
No, but I think it's kind of interesting sort of how obvious some of these moves come in light of what the way contracts are. Now, the other thing that I think, you know, it was interesting as we sat, you know, we protected Pat Surtain, we protected Javonte Williams. We didn't protect any of the other guys. And maybe there would be something in play that said, all right, it's 6-6. And if it's before the rookie draft, your picks are exempt. It's more likely though, that an expansion draft would probably take place right around the combine.
Right, that makes more sense.
Kind of, and very similar to the NHL calendar. We're going to have the Kraken picking this week before free agency. Mm-hmm. So they may literally have some agreements to pick some guys who are going to become an unrestricted free agents to just kind of say, okay, well, we'll take this guy. Maybe you'll get a draft. You know, there'll be a draft pick that we pick up. That sort of thing.
Compensatory pick.
Uh huh. Well, yeah, There are some moves on the back end that will be made, and I'm sure if you had the NFL structuring expansion draft like this, there are moves that could be made. It would be fascinating if it was kind of the 6-6-1 like this, because a team, I think you could build a good team that pushed for the playoffs right away with 6-6-1.
Right. I mean, yeah, you're coming away with two good players from the Broncos.
Yeah.
And so that means you're coming away with 64 probably pretty solid players.
Do you even, like, if you're the league, they gave the NHL gave two options. 7-3-1, 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goalie, or 4-4-1, 4 forwards, 4 defensemen, 1 goalie? Do you give multiple options? Do you say 6-6-1, but maybe you give the option of going heavy on, like, heavy on offense, and maybe it's like 7-4-1.
Right.
As well.
Or do you break it down by position? So you can have one quarterback, one running back, two wide receiver, you know, like, that's the way.
Teams would balk at the only two wide receivers because the way three wide is becoming more of a default base package. They'd say, well, you're taking away a starter here.
But so no maybe, one's protecting three wide receivers out of their six, I don't think.
I think what would happen is you'd combine the receivers and the tight ends. And you'd say, all right, you can protect running backs. You would, because you'd have four fullbacks in there as well, because some teams like the Niners still run fullback. So you say one quarterback, 5 O-linemen, 5 skill guys, or do you make him say, all right, you've got to leave a starter unprotected, so it's going to be one quarterback, 4 skill guys, 4 O-linemen. So everybody is leaving a starter out there. And then in front set, and then in like on the defense in front 7, it's 5 out of 7 to kind of account for 4-3-3-4. And then it's, you know, either 3 or 4 defensive backs.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's something that may be a compromise. 6-6-1 would be amazing for the expansion teams, but the NFL has so many of those old school people that might say like, oh well, we're not gonna only protect 13 guys. No, no.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these are the same people that, that keep us from having so many nice and cool things.
At least we got the throwback unis back.
Thank God. can't wait for that next year.
Can't wait for that. And I can't wait for the rest of this show, which is going to take place on the podcast side of things. All right, guys, before we move on and jump into the comment section, we got to tell you about our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook, where this week, you can bet one to win $150 on the NBA Finals. Man, I was very confident that the Suns were going to take care of business in Game 5, and they did not do so. Now their backs are up against the wall, and I kind of hope they lose because they didn't reward my confidence on Saturday.
So, you won with Morikawa, but you lost with the Suns.
Yes, but I won a lot more with Morikawa than I lost with the Suns.
So you were more confident in Morikawa than the Suns is what you're telling me.
No, the book was less confident in Morikawa than the Suns.
I've got a lot to learn about this stuff.
But yeah, you can get on either side. I think that the Bucks might finish this thing out in 6. So
what their fans have been saying.
Yeah, it is true. That's actually going to be legendary if they pull that off because they've been doing it since Game 3.
Yes.
So check them out at DraftKings Sportsbook. You can get in on either side. One to win $150. And, of course, you can always get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when you use the code DNVR when you sign up. That lets them know you're part of the DNVR family. So make sure you do that. Of course, to get in on that, you must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match. Each up to $500 of deposit bonus requires a 25x playthrough. And restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Hey, I admire the confidence of Bucks fans. I admire the folks also down at Hassel Cattle Company who bring you damn good beef. Mm. Of course, we've had damn good beer. You can come to the bar and have damn good beer and damn good beef because the Hassel Cattle Company Wagyu beef burger is on the menu here DNVR bar.
Shelby Harris endorsed.
Exactly. I mean, just he had a visceral reaction that you saw on social media, and the best part of that Hassel Cattle Company Wagyu burger is that you can put whatever you want on it here at the DMVR bar, but you don't need all that much. To me, it's just to keep it simple. Lettuce, tomato, some raw onion, little ketchup, little mustard, and if you want, a slice of cheese. And it's amazing. You don't want to do anything to kind of take away the flavor.
I mean, I'm the type of person who just wants to throw as much stuff on a burger as I can, but I respect both strategies.
But also, I'm sorry, I'm flashing back to the discussion that we had about burgers and you not wanting to put that down on the plate.
I know.
I don't get that.
I just, once you have a good grip on it, you don't want to lose it.
Oh, man. Man, I don't get that. Put it down. It's not going to fall apart.
It's
going to
fall apart.
No, I mean, I had a burger this weekend. I put it back down on the plate. Nothing happened. Stood there. I picked it back up, put it back.
Put a toothpick in it or something?
I took the toothpick out. put it back in my mouth, had another bite, and then, you know, went on watching the rest of game five.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, so
maybe that's the problem, is I want so many toppings on my burger that it's stacked a little too high.
Maybe.
That's why it falls apart.
This may be the issue here. Kind of like you can have too many toppings on a pizza, you can't have too many toppings on a burger. But
I also really like to put a lot of toppings on my pizza.
Wow. Okay. So for you, you subscribe to the Fraser Crane theory, who, when he was confronted with the phrase less is more, replied, "If less is more, think how much more would be."
I love that so much.
Anyway, Hassle Cattle Company, it's not just at the DMVR bar. Of course, you can order it at hasslecattlecompany.com. That's H-A-S-S-E-L-L cattlecompany.com. Of course, you can take advantage of the specials going on there. Use the magical code DMVR10 for 10% off. If you get that order of $200, you can get free shipping, so that's like getting another 10 or 15% off right there. But they've got something else going on right now. They've got buy three, get one free on their flank steaks. They're delicious, very flavorful, perfect for carne asada. You thinly slice them against the grain when carving them. And right now, they're a great price, $9.99 each, and you buy three, get one free. Use that code DNVRFLANK at checkout. That's DNVR. FLANK at checkout, and you're going to get something great to put on the grill in summertime. We were talking about tacos earlier. Mm. Carne asada tacos can be amazing, and they're going to be amazing if you use some of that blue-collar Wagyu from Hassle Cattle Company and take advantage of the buy three, get one free on their flank steak. So check out Hassle Cattle Company at H-A-S-S-E-L-L cattlecompany.com. DNVR flank for buy three, get one free on flank steaks. DNVR10 for 10% off. $200 of beef. You get free shipping. What more could you want?
And just about everyone here at DNVR has just been doing $200 themselves, because you stock the fridge, you stock the freezer with it, and it'll last you. All right. Also, got to let you know about our friends over at Strava Craft Coffee. DNVR25 is the code to save 25%. That's a quarter of your order will be free if you use the code DNVR25, use that code DNVR25 at Strava Craft Coffee. Get that rich, tasty CBD-infused coffee. It's the best out there. It's unique. It's going to help you with certain things like aches and pains or migraines or anything like that. So make sure you test out what it can do for you. Try out Strava Craft Coffee and use that code DNVR25. All right, Mace, Let's jump into the comments. And the first one here comes from Windy City Bronco. He says, "Here's how I know it's time for training camp to start. The closest I can get to Broncos news is listening to a Broncos podcast talk about golf. Much love, you guys, but man, I'm ready for the season to get started." Well, you got soccer today.
Yeah, people are really itching for it. But like yesterday, like, why is it so quiet on Twitter? Enjoy the silence. Because basically, now what's interesting on Sunday in particular, next week there's nothing going on. I probably will not be anywhere near social media on Sunday unless news breaks. But then I give the Broncos credit for this. The following Sunday, it's a day off from camp.
Oh.
So that's nice.
Yeah.
But then the Sunday after that, Peyton Manning and John Lynch go into the Pro Football Hall of
Fame. So that's three Sundays from now?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. It's coming up fast.
Yeah, it is.
Huge weekend in Canton. Steve Atwater on Saturday, Peyton and John Lynch on Sunday. And it was very interesting to hear John Lynch on Friday, and it kind of got me thinking about a piece I'm doing today. Wax eloquent about what Denver meant to him. And kind of you think about Peyton and John Lynch, and these are two guys that showed really by coming to Denver, but then embracing it and loving it because the Broncos did so well by them, what kind of organization Denver was. It's kind of it's another stamp to me on the Pat Bowlen legacy, because he built an organization that those two, even though they were only here 4 years apiece, really regard as almost equal in importance to the place where they spent the bulk of their careers.
Absolutely. All right, next one's from Melbourne Bronco. "Hey, guys, saddened that might have been the last three-ring circus. My Monday morning drive won't be the same." Well, you'll have training camp coverage to listen to on Monday, so that'll be a nice replacement.
Yeah.
He says, "Now, the comedy movie draft was a cracker. I thought Mace might have thrown in a Life of Brian, a classic Monty Python movie. Nobody drafted Ace Ventura, Wayne's World, or Something About Mary. All are on rerun in this house. Love your work as always. Cheers."
Yeah, you know, we had a little after discussion afterward, and I know Life of Brian came up, Monty Python and the Holy Grail came up. Wayne's World, I don't think, did come up.
Wayne's World's good. It's good. I just wouldn't put it in my draft.
Something About Mary didn't come up either. And actually, something about Mary is just okay. Like, I'm King. The one I think that if I was going to include another Farrelly Brothers movie would be Kingpin.
Great one.
Absolutely fantastic. Like, I think that was I think that was one that I wish we'd found a way to get in. I mean, Bill Murray as Ernie McCracken may well be the greatest comedy movie villain that we've seen in the last 40 years.
Shooter McGavin's pretty good too. He,
right there, right, kind of the same era, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was a fun draft. Did we post the poll? I don't think we posted the poll.
We'll post it sometime this week.
We'll put it up today.
Well, you know, and the thing is, because it was the last Three Ring Circus, we could wait.
It's true. Yeah. All right, next one is from Jason17. This one had me laughing when I read it this morning. Well, guys, I did it. I took the leap. I've been on the fence for a while now, but RK's read for Ball before Three Ring Circus convinced me. So after listening to the pod, I sexted Ball, just like RK told us. It's safe to say they were not impressed, and I don't believe I'll be offered the job. Another great Three Ring. Sad to see season one come to an end, but if it means training camp starts, then bring it on. So pumped for this year and more amazing ad reads from y'all. Yeah, I had the opportunity to like have that edited out, but I just said, you know what? It's probably going to be more impactful just with my little slip up.
No one's going to forget that.
Exactly. But actually, you should apply for a job at Ball.
Well, and if Zach were here, he would tell you that he's got relative working at Ball and speaks highly of it.
Love to
hear
it. Of
the experience there. So it's great company. Everything that we say positive about Ball can be verified.
Yes.
By people working at Ball.
100%.
So get on the Ball and apply at Ball. Anyway, Beham Bronco. Gents, recently CBS Sports listed Kari Vincent Jr. as a Broncos sleeper rookie who could break out. Usually mainstream media has no interest or knowledge on these sort of things, but I thought this was pretty spot on. He hasn't been mentioned much when you guys talk about the cornerback room, so where do you see him fitting? Does he back up Callahan in the slot? Is he on the practice squad this year? Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Thanks, and have a great Monday.
I think practice squad.
Seventh rounders, typically, you can slip through the practice squad. That's, and yeah, draft status does matter in this equation. I think they'll try to maybe, I wouldn't say kind of hide him, but they'll try to kind of bring him along low-key. Now, if there's an injury at the cornerback position, I think he could step right in. And if he's doing well enough, and this is where Asang Bassey comes in, if you can hold Asang Bassey back and say, all right, he is going to be on the pup list, and we'll see where he is in October. If they slow roll it on Bassey coming back from the ACL, then it's possible there could be room for Kari Vincent to make the 53 right away.
For sure. Good point.
So, we'll see how they do that. Virginia Beach Broncos. Great show on Friday, gang. Hard to believe no Mel Brooks movies, particularly Blazing Saddles, made the cut, but still all really solid picks. If you like Airplane, I highly recommend you watch the 1957 movie Zero Hour. Google Zero Hour movie and watch the trailer. Trust me on this. The thing with Zero Hour is the creators of Airplane, the Zucker brothers and Jim Abrahams, they bought the rights to the script of Zero Hour.
Okay.
And so, like, some of the dialogue that kind of comes in, like the plane being in peril, but some of, like, the straight dialogue that's in there, the non-comedic dialogue, is taken from that screenplay, literally. And I believe kind of one of the running gags in Airplane is that even though they're flying a jet, you hear the sound of a propeller. And I believe it is the sound of the propellers on the engines that were used in the movie Zero Hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is quite the little fact.
But they were having trouble. It was like, okay, how do we do this? And they just, you know, we don't want to rip off anybody. So they just went ahead and they bought the rights to the screenplay of Zero Hour. So they could slip it in. They could slip stuff in whenever they wanted.
Right.
And that was kind of the template for what they built off of.
All right.
So, yes. Good call, Virginia Beach Broncos.
Next one's Onion Booty Bronco. Dear Booty. Zach, I'm overjoyed and slightly nervous to hear that you accept my pizza bet proposal. Is this about who wins the quarterback competition?
Yeah, I believe so.
It has me thinking, when Drew Lock wins this faux competition, what style of pizza will I purchase with your tokens? A grandma pie? A vodka pie? Half pepperoni, half sausage? Can't exclude Buff Chick from the Wheel of Fortune. What pie will you purchase if you win the bet? And a question for the three of you, what is your favorite half and half pie? Well, yes, Zach is out on vacation this week. He'll be back next week if you want to bring back that question for him. But what is your favorite half and half? Mace?
I actually had a place that was willing to do a half and half, but they did marinara sauce on one side and barbecue sauce on the other. So I was able to do half barbecue chicken, half pepperoni.
Love that.
It was awesome.
That's a dedication to the customer there.
That's why I keep going back to this pizza
place. Right. I don't do half and half pies. I'm a man of commitment.
Okay.
I pick something and I roll with it. But like I said earlier, I want mini toppings. So I'll go with like the meat lovers.
Yeah. See, that's the like you and I, that's where we differ. Like I don't want any more generally than three toppings as far as I go. Like I love pepperoni, garlic, and like roasted red pepper, sun-dried tomato. I'm weird.
Like, just pack it on there. Give me like sausage or like maybe like Canadian bacon, pineapple, cream cheese, and jalapeno.
The problem I find is that when you have too many toppings, sometimes it all like the cheese and toppings slide off. And then then
you got to have your fold nice and perfected.
Or you just have to just eat it with a knife and fork.
I've never done that.
You've never eaten pizza with a knife and fork?
I don't think I ever will.
Have you ever had the, not the tavern style in Chicago, but the deep dish?
Oh, that's true. I have done that. And
but is that a pizza?
Kind of.
Or is it like a casserole?
I call it like a pizza casserole.
Okay.
Which I think is fair. It's great. There's one that down there that is like the keto person's dream. I've talked about it before.
Uh-huh.
Instead of crust, they just use sausage. So literally, it's just like a giant bed of sausage with cheese and sauce.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I like sausage that much. I think I'd be leaving the crust, as it were.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay.
It's also got like a little crispiness to it, like almost like as if it was grilled.
Oh, because like the sausage is on the outside.
Right, right.
Ooh, okay.
So it's in the pan.
You might have just sold me on that one.
Yeah, there's a little crunch on there. Next one.
LDJ.
Ooh, all right, here we go. Hey guys, hope you had a good weekend. What's the likelihood we get shacked and cut someone with insane potential because of how deep the roster is? I don't want to lose Kerry Vincent Jr. Well, big day for Kari.
Kari Vincent? I think it's Kari.
Kari Vincent Jr. on the podcast. But what if it's what if they still like Isang Bassi? Can Kari make the roster if they decide to keep Bassi? I can't believe that conversation just happened.
Yeah, well, I mean, I assure you, I did not look down at LDJ's comment before we did it, but they do kind of go hand in hand because you have that option of the pup. You have the option of the pup on Duke Dawson as well.
Has Duke Dawson ever made a play for this team?
Not one that jumps out.
I don't think so. Maybe like a special teams tackle.
Yeah, I mean, he's just on the fringe.
Yeah, I think he maybe has an interception.
Yeah, the. Ask not for whom the bell tolls, Duke. It's probably tolling for thee.
Yeah.
I'm afraid. But Bassi, I know that they probably think more highly of Bassi than Duke at this point. And Bassi has 3 years of team control, potentially, including the RFA year.
So. He goes on, I also want to keep Seth Williams, but geez, how the heck does he make this roster if Kendall Hinton is having a good camp? I love Kendall Hinton. If it's even close, Seth Williams will make the roster over him.
Maybe, but there's a lot of affection for Kendall Hinton in that building.
There is, but I mean, you're talking about a decent round draft pick.
But who does more on special teams as well? Yeah. Like Kendall Hinton, because we've seen how versatile he is, if Kendall Hinton becomes a go-to guy for Tom McMahon, he's making the team. And again, it's a sixth round pick. That's what Seth Williams is. You get to round six, round seven, the chances of being able to slip those guys through the practice squad are pretty good. And the other thing with receivers, everybody has young receivers they like.
Yes, that's true.
That's like, you know, we're going to have conversations.
It's the easiest position to stand out in camp.
Right. And every year we're talking about, oh, this receiver looked great. He could be something. But every team has those type of guys every year.
Trinity Benson.
Yeah. And it's receivers and receivers and running backs. You're always able to have fringe guys that you get excited about in camp. It's part of kind of the annual drama of camp.
All right, he finishes by saying, do you think if we cut them, we can get them on the practice squad, which you just mentioned? Yeah, I mean, you should be able to.
Yeah, and Williams is kind of there in case, you know, there's an injury. And there's a chance he could beat out Tyree Cleveland, but that's a slim chance. Based on what I saw at the OTAs that were open to media, Cleveland looks like he's pretty well ahead of Seth Williams at this point. Cleveland looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And finally, Count Locula. No Ferris Bueller, no Super Troopers. I'm stunned, gents. Love the count. Yeah, Ferris Bueller, that was another, like, if we're thinking, okay, that one was a near miss, and because we could have gone another two rounds.
Well, that's the thing quality. Is, I was going to say, that's the only problem with these drafts, that there's so many options, is you're going to miss out on some people's favorites, but, like, you're asking people to essentially make a top five, top 10 of their mm-hmm. favorite movies of all time. You're still going to leave out, like, hundreds of movies that you like. I like both of those movies. Mm-hmm. They don't quite make my top five.
Yeah. And so, and also for the draft, sometimes you're thinking, okay, what's going to get the most votes?
Oh, well, that's
you're,
what we're all,
you're thinking on that as well. Thinking. Like, Ferris Bueller is in my top 25.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. Super Troopers I've never seen.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, okay. So now it's two recommendations I've had on Super Troopers here in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I would say you should okay. watch that. I think you'll enjoy it.
All right. I'll find some time. Although, God, it's months. Monday and camp is next week. I've wasted another off season.
All right,
here we go.
Before we get out of here, I want to give a shout out again to our presenting sponsor, MSU Denver Online. You can have it both ways with MSU Denver, meaning you can work a full-time job and get your education to hopefully then better yourself and get a better full-time job. Make sure you check out msudenver.edu/online to see all they have to offer. It's really, really a great education that you can get over there. So check them out, msudenver.edu/online. But that is going to wrap it up for us today. We'll be back on the DNVR Broncos podcast tomorrow.
Flying cotton would stick to you.